Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
Timeless truth that prepares scholars to serve their neighbor in all of life through their various vocations. This is what scholars receive at Wittenberg Academy. If you are looking for a solidly Lutheran online education for your child, consider Wittenberg Academy, where doctrine is sound, academics are rigorous, and relationships are genuine. We offer full-time, part-time, and diploma track options to meet your child's Lutheran education needs. We partner with brick-and-mortar schools and homeschools. You can find out more at wittenbergacademy.org.
I think that e-learning has been getting overly bad rap. There are definitely disadvantages to having your kid at home learning virtually, but there may be some advantages. There may actually be some benefits. What are those benefits? Well, we're going to find out in a conversation with Jocelyn Benson. We're going to discuss e-learning and homeschooling on this Friday afternoon, July the 10th. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Jocelyn Benson is head teacher for Wittenberg Academy. She has a bachelor's degree in English teaching and a master's degree in educational psychology from the University of Northern Iowa. Jocelyn, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you for having me.
So in a more general sense, what's the most challenging thing about online learning for a younger student?
You know, the challenges that face a younger student online are probably the same challenges that a student would face in any learning situation. Things like sitting still, staying focused, putting in their full effort. Basically, all we've done is taken a scholar and put him in a different learning situation. Now, that applies most to a live online learning situation. If you're just talking about an asynchronous sort of learning situation, probably getting used to things like typing and taking notes and all of those sorts of things would be the challenges that a younger student would have.
What about an older student?
Probably the greatest challenge that an older student would face is the lack of immediate feedback. Generally, there is an asynchronous component or a not live component to online learning. And students coming from a brick and mortar setting or from a homeschool setting where mom and dad or their teacher are right there, they're going to face that time gap, right? Where the questions they have might not be immediately answered. But with any challenge, we look for the positive, right? In this, okay, so you don't have immediate feedback. Sometimes you have to think about how do I frame a question to get a good answer? And so working on question asking skills is an important component of all of life, right? If we want to get a specific answer, we need to ask a good question that is going to elicit that response. And the other side of that is maybe using your imagination and attacking the question that you have or the problem that you have from a different angle instead of looking at the question and going, I don't get this, and just giving up, saying, okay, what is a different way that I can approach this question so that I can maybe solve it on my own?
What is the most beneficial thing about online learning for a younger student?
One of the things that online learning affords for all students, but especially for younger students, is that they can be themselves. One of the things that students experience in a brick and mortar situation in particular is the peer aspect of things. And sometimes scholars come away from those situations becoming someone that they weren't made to be because they're trying to conform to the pressures that are around them. In an online learning situation, scholars can be themselves. They don't have to be someone that they think their teacher or their fellow scholars think they should be. They just get to be themselves. And that includes all of the quirks and everything that makes them who they are. It really is a wonderful thing.
So that's a younger student. What about the benefit of online learning for older students?
The benefit for an older student really is the same benefit for a younger student, just at a different age. Online learning really provides the opportunity for scholars to be who they are, to learn deeply, and to not have the distractions of some of the things that a brick and mortar, in particular, a brick and mortar situation might bring about that would tempt a scholar, especially an older scholar, as hormone levels change and all of those distractions that come with that, and really allows him to focus on learning.
A lot of parents are concerned with what a typical day might look like for their child in online learning. In other words, is their child going to sit in front of a screen all day long?
Well, I can't speak for all online programs, but I can speak about Wittenberg Academy. And the answer is no. A scholar does not sit in front of a computer all day. In fact, we encourage scholars to not sit in front of a computer all day. There are certain things that a scholar has to do on the computer if you're learning online, watching lectures, typing papers, interacting in discussions. And at Wittenberg Academy, we also have a live component. And so when that time is scheduled for you to meet with your teacher and fellow scholars live, obviously that's online as well. But there's a lot of flexibility with online learning in that, yes, you have deadlines for assignments, and yes, there is a scheduled live time, but you can participate in discussions early in the morning or late at night. You can type your papers and do your reading whenever your family's schedule allows. So the flexibility is nice in that, aside from, you know, adhering to deadlines, which takes a little bit of planning, and being available for live sessions, there's a lot of flexibility that does not require being in front of a computer all the time.
Can children actually learn online?
Richard M. Weaver said that the purpose of education is to make a human more human. And one of the key factors with online learning is thinking about the needs of scholars. We want our scholars to be more human, right? And we do this, we think about these things regardless of where learning takes place. So if we think about this and break it down, a scholar needs content. Okay, so that's one of the needs that a scholar has. And sometimes that comes in the form of a lecture. Sometimes that comes in the form of reading a book or an article. Sometimes it might even come in the form of a picture. And once the content has been delivered, then the scholar needs the opportunity to process the content. And if the scholar has been paying attention, right? If the scholar has been paying attention, that processing has already begun. And then the scholar needs aids to help memory, to help learning, to help recall. And some of those aids might be writing a paper or taking a quiz or participating in a discussion. All of those things help a scholar ponder and help with repetition, right? Repetition is the mother of memory. And so these things help a scholar to process the content that they have been given in such a way that they can then own that content and make it part of the body of knowledge they contain. So these are all ways to help scholars be more human, because what we're giving them, the content that we're giving them, is forming them and shaping them and helping them to be more human. Now, the way that we ponder how we aid scholars in learning, if we boil it down, it really falls into two categories. And those two categories are synchronous and asynchronous. And I mentioned this just before, but so synchronous is live. You're interacting live. Asynchronous is you aren't live. And sometimes we think that in a brick and mortar setting or in a homeschool setting that everything is synchronous. We're there together. So we're live, right? But in the process of teaching and learning, there are so many things that happen that are asynchronous. You think about giving scholars time to think and process material. That's asynchronous. You think about discussions that happen in a classroom or around a table. Those are certainly synchronous because they're happening live in person in time, but discussions can also be asynchronous in that you can pose a question, you can give a response, and then there might be a time delay, but then you can also receive responses back. And so that takes the discussion from a synchronous environment to an asynchronous environment. And so if we think of the teaching and learning process in those terms, it's easier to start seeing how teaching and learning can actually occur online. And in all of this, it's key to remember the purpose of education. As I mentioned that Richard M. Weaver quote, that we want to make humans more human. In Lutheran education, which is what we do, this entails catechesis and the liberal arts. We teach the liberal arts within the context of catechesis, within the context of our faith, right? So that our students are equipped to serve their neighbor in all of their various vocations and be kept firm in God's word and their faith until such time as God takes them from this valley of sorrow to himself in heaven.
Is the goal to reproduce the classroom online, and can that even be done?
No. No, you cannot reproduce a classroom setting online. You have to think differently about teaching and learning. And I think that this is something that causes frustration for people who have experienced a poor online learning situation, because whomever was doing the teaching was thinking, well, we can just take what we do in the classroom and stick it online. And you can't duplicate, but you can translate. And so there's a difference in thinking there. As we mentioned before, the synchronous and the asynchronous, you can't take that live interaction, the raising of the hand and the immediate feedback, you can't take that and put it into an asynchronous environment. But you can mitigate that. You can help that by anticipating the needs of the scholars, right? And so this is a different way of thinking about online learning that is not served when you just take whatever you've done in a classroom and you stick it online. You have to think differently about this. And so when teaching and learning happens, we have to consider it differently. Otherwise, and this is a frustration, otherwise it will be a detriment and a waste of time if you don't consider the differences in online and brick and mortar teaching and learning.
What about social interaction?
It seems a lot of scholars today, they don't have a problem with online interactions. Unlike most of us, myself included, the internet is not a native environment for us, right? We are immigrants online. We have come to it later in life. A lot of the scholars that we are teaching today, the internet, being online, interacting with electronic devices, this is a native environment for them. So really, sometimes the challenge is paring back or helping them focus their social interactions because they're so good at it. Now, in a teaching and learning environment, you'll have those social interactions out there. The students, they form Facebook groups and Google Hangouts, and you name a platform, they figure it out. In a teaching and learning environment, there's also social interaction. Not all of it happens live. I had mentioned discussions, going back and forth and going toe-to-toe intellectually in discussions. You certainly have the live aspect where the scholars are interacting in live time with their teachers, with their fellow scholars. And so there is a lot of social that's going on. So when we think about online learning, we shouldn't think of it as a sterile environment. In fact, we should think of it as an environment that is highly interactive and that is affording these scholars the opportunity to form really meaningful relationships with one another. I know at Wittenberg Academy, we have scholars that if they're headed somewhere on family vacation, they'll get in touch with fellow scholars that are nearby and say, hey, you want to meet up for lunch or something like that. Or they invite each other to their wedding. And we've been around long enough that some of our scholars are getting married. And so inviting each other to their wedding. So even though we're online, these scholars are forming intentional, meaningful relationships, not only with their teachers, but also with their fellow scholars.
What about cheating?
If scholars are going to cheat, they're going to cheat, regardless of setting. Now, there are certainly things you can do to lessen the chance of cheating, like putting time limits on quizzes and knowing your scholars so you know their writing style so you can detect plagiarism and all of these sorts of things. But really, when it comes down to it, it's an integrity issue, right? It's not an environment issue that somehow being online made me cheat or somehow being in a brick and mortar classroom made me cheat. A purposeful decision was made to cheat. And so if a scholar cheats, he robs himself of the opportunity to learn. And so whether or not he experiences the consequences of that in the short term, at some point along the way, that lack of opportunity to learn will impact him.
Should Christian parents be concerned about sending their children to public schools?
Yes. Whenever this question comes up, and a lot of us were public school educated, and we have in our heads that things in public schools are the same as they were when we were in school. And this is not the case. When we were in school, if a teacher didn't go to my church, there was a chance that he went to a church, and most likely a Bible-believing church. And so there was this common morality that flowed through a public school, even though it was a public school. We can look at demographics and we can look at the statistics, and that is not the case. So you have these men and women who are in authority, and certainly I don't want to make a broad brush generalization. There are fantastic Christians in public schools who are doing their best to be salt and light and all of that. But across the board, depending on your geographic location, a common morality cannot be assumed. So you have the authority figures who may or may not share the morality, may not share the values of the families they are serving. And number two, then you have the curriculum and you have targeted, intentional agendas that are being played out in all content areas. You know, when I was working on my PhD, one of my areas of emphasis was curriculum and instruction. So we looked at textbooks, we looked at curricula, and one of the checkboxes that we had to look at was, is this curriculum, is this story problem in math, is this, you know, fill in the blank, whatever you want, is it multicultural and diverse? And so this is an intentional thing that textbook companies are putting forward that we don't consider, that it's not just the morality and the values and the ethics of the teachers, but it is that subtle or not so subtle agenda that is coming into the curriculum at all ages from all angles.
What do you say to parents who are intrigued, and perhaps because of what you were just talking about, drawn toward homeschooling, but they fear that they're just not qualified to do it?
To that, I would first say that by virtue of being a parent, you are qualified because God has qualified you. It's a beautiful thing. By virtue of your vocation as parent, you are given the primary responsibility to teach your children. Now, that being said, you have been dubbed the primary educator, the primary teacher of your children. Different parents need different levels of support within that. If they choose to partner with a brick and mortar school, if they choose to partner with a homeschool co-op, if they choose to partner with an online school or various combinations of those, they are still primarily responsible for the education of their children. And that's very important to remember. So you are qualified. You are qualified to teach your children. You may just want to enlist the support of different entities around you, whether that be online or brick and mortar. And so the circumstances in which you find yourself might be different from your neighbor, but that does not change your qualification to homeschool your child. Whether or not you are registered as a homeschool parent, you are a homeschool parent.
What can you tell us here about Wittenberg Academy?
Wittenberg Academy is an online Lutheran school. We serve families full-time or part-time with faculty-taught classes in 6th through 12th grade. We are accredited by the Consortium for Classical Lutheran Education and by National Lutheran Schools Accreditation. And so we have two accrediting bodies that are saying we're doing what we say we're doing. We also have a grammar school curriculum that we provide free of charge for families should they avail themselves of that. And that serves K through 5. And it's been a glorious thing for the past 8 going on 9 years of serving God's people, really at all ages, through Wittenberg Academy.
You can learn more about Wittenberg Academy, an online Lutheran school, at issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand Archives. Jocelyn Benson is head teacher for Wittenberg Academy. She has a bachelor's degree in English teaching and a master's degree in educational psychology from the University of Northern Iowa. Jocelyn, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
On the other side of the break, it's time to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We've got our 4 soundbites lined up for you. We will play them for you next, and then we'll start taking your votes for Soundbite of the Week. What is God calling you to do? What is the one thing you were born to do? Are you truly doing what you're called to do? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July is Callings for Life, God's Plan, Your Purpose. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or learn more about Callings for Life at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July, Callings for Life, God's Plan, Your Purpose.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth, Luther Academy. 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
I'm delighted to be chairman of Preach the Word Project, a project of our synod to strengthen the preaching of all of us pastors in the synod. We know how eternally important that is.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Carl Fekencher talking about the new Preach the Word Project.
So we've put together a program of 12 modules that will be coming out this year and over the next 3 years on a variety of preaching topics for pastors to do together with two other pastors, two guys they trust, two guys they feel comfortable with, written materials and very fine video quality materials that are now becoming available.
Preach the Word helps pastors work together to improve their preaching with several resources and by interacting with seminary professors and fellow preachers. Find out more at lcms.org/preachtheword. lcms.org/preachtheword. Preaching is challenging business. We all can use some fresh ideas. lcms.org/preachtheword.